Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Raffel & Brown Window Fashions. Update your home by checking out this week's sale on a full selection of Hunter Douglas products. Visit raffel-brown.com for more details. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. To find out what this week's theme is, check out today's Capital Daily newsletter. Hi, I'm Ben Waterworth, and welcome to the Capital Daily podcast for Monday, November 9th, 2020. Today on the podcast,
when I started to get on the homeless beat, I really made a commitment to looking at this from all angles. And so I feel that you can have compassion for all parties involved, because this is really hard for everyone.
We chat with Capital Daily reporter Anna J. James about just how the businesses around the homeless shelters in Victoria are coping and finding out whether it is safe for people to visit them. Capital Daily reporter Anna J. James has been at the centre of the homelessness issue in Victoria for the last few months and continues to look at all angles of the situation. Currently, Anna is in the midst of looking at the businesses affected by the situation, particularly those located near the hotel shelters that have been used to house several homeless people in downtown Victoria. And to talk about what she has found out, it's a pleasure to welcome back Anna to the Capital Daily podcast. Anna, as always, thanks very much for your time today.
Good morning, Ben.
We've, of course, had you on a fair bit recently, Anna, to chat about the homelessness situation in Victoria. Last week, we spoke a bit more about the hotel shelters that are in place, but we'd like to know a bit more about the businesses near the shelters, something that, as I just mentioned in the intro, you've been following closely. So what's been going on here, Anna, in regards to the businesses that are placed around these shelters?
Yeah, it's a big issue. So I think the businesses, the local businesses that I'm talking to are generally not very happy right now. There are a lot of them speaking on the condition of anonymity just because they're scared of having more reprisal or being attacked further by some people who are living in these hotels. Now, look, I'm not fear-mongering. I've been to these hotels myself. You know, they are being managed. They're being managed well, but it is not a manageable situation. I don't like the structure. I don't think it's a great idea. I think it's idealistic that we can put people all into the one hotel with all these complex issues and hope for the best. But the consequences, you know, the truth is that local businesses are now being affected. And this is particularly distressing for them because they're already struggling due to COVID. So I'll give some examples to people who do businesses who did speak on the record. I spoke to the lady who owns Java Joe's. Now she's near the Comfort Inn. Now, this is a mother of three who's put everything, she said, her life on the line to open, to purchase Java Joe's a year ago. Now, she's really contending this might be her first and her last year in business, mainly due to, you know, COVID, but also living within this kind of close proximity to these hotels turned shelters. I mean, she's absolutely being terrorized, and I don't use that word lightly. I'm saying she goes there now before shift, checking for human feces, needles, people sleeping on her patio, people overdosing. The bathroom, she says, are always a mess. She's been given security by the Van City Bank, who have been provided security because they're also in that little complex. But she's really grateful for that. But largely, I feel like from what I can see, I feel like she could use a lot more support. And she's kind of on her own. And she, at the end of the day, she's the one who's really paying for this. Then I also spoke to Dodds. So they lost $15,000, they estimate, in one day just from having their warehouse ransacked. People ran in there and took things that were not of any value to anyone except Dodds, right? And this comes from a family who have spent the last 43 years in business here in Victoria. And they're not just business people, they are Victoria people. They've really invested into the local community, especially vulnerable populations, serving Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner at our place and going up the island and, you know, countless charity events and business of commerce kind of things. And you know, so that's especially disappointing. And, you know, they're telling me a story about someone, you know, overdosing or you know, shooting up in their loading zone. I mean, that is a huge issue. There's a huge safety issue. And so now I really, when I started to get on the homeless beat, and I really made a commitment to looking at this from all angles. And so I feel that you can have compassion for all parties involved, because this is really hard for everyone. And I think it's time to kind of look at the business owners. Okay, let's look at them and how they're being affected. Just because I'm looking at them and listening to their stories and reporting on that does not mean I do not have compassion for our place or the outreach workers or even the people committing the crimes themselves. I mean, I have compassion for everyone in this situation because it's very unique.
You talk about how some of the businesses you are speaking to are speaking to you anonymously. Why are they not wanting to come forward and go on the record? Are they fearing for their safety?
Absolutely. I mean, their neighborhood is being flooded with people who have severe mental health issues, people who have exhibited, you know, antisocial behavior, people who are potentially violent or do commit crimes, violent crimes. Yeah, absolutely. And they're already being targeted for violence or vandalism or, really chaotic. Like, they're already in a really chaotic, precarious kind of situation. So, yeah, I really understand a lot of businesses have been speaking to me on the condition of anonymity because they're scared that they're going to get even more, attract even more chaos to their establishments. You know, the big issue here is that these decisions that have been made by the province and the city is affecting the way we do things. It's affecting how safe we feel and how secure we feel in Victoria. And let me tell you, man, this town is expensive. We pay for every dollar and every minute that we're here. And the reason why a lot of people pay to live in Victoria is because it's safe and it's beautiful and it's such a great quality of life. And then I really feel for people who have come here, you know, and they're working really hard for their place in this town. And then things are falling apart and it feels like completely out of their control and they're feeling harassed. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And the main point is this: the business owners who I've spoken to that live next door or near these hotel turned shelters all make the same point. That point is the main problem is that the province did not consult them before they bought these hotels. So they feel like they've completely been not involved in the decision-making process. Not only that, but they've also been neglected and then they're also bearing all the consequence for that. That concerns me.
Have many of the businesses tried to come together around this situation and form some kind of, I don't know, coalition or committee that they can maybe go to council and present these issues that they're facing?
There's definitely like neighbourhood committees. I know there's a really good one in Fernwood and I know the Gorge has a very strong neighbourhood community there and they all meet up and talk and everything like that. But it's also, I mean, one positive thing about this is like it's really shown that you know, Victoria's communities are very strong. So as I mentioned with Java Joe's, like Van City Bank has employed extra security there and that's at the cost of the bank. It's not at the cost to the city or the province just to manage this situation. People are really helping each other out. Like employees of these establishments are really putting their own security or safety, you know, in their hands by going to work every day, knowing that, you know, they potentially be, you know, they're going into a potentially futile environment or an unsafe environment. So I think everyone's really working really hard with a very unmanageable situation.
When it comes to support you were talking about before, what forms of support can be provided to the businesses? Is it a case of further consultation by the city or is there just other support, other different types of support that maybe can be offered?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think listening to them, involving them in the decision-making process. But like, you know, I get these emails, you know, like, you know, the hotels aren't slums, like, you know, you're being so negative, all this kind of stuff. I mean, this past Thursday, there was a fire at the Capital City Centre Hotel where 84 rooms were damaged to the tune of about $250,000. So we lost like 84 rooms. So these people, so this is another hotel turned shelter. These people are going to have to be, they're without a home, like without a place now, they're going to have to be relocated. So you can't tell me that this is working or this was a really good idea. So yeah, I feel like we're at the point where we can sit back and assess the cost and the effectiveness of, of the decision to buy these hotels or lease these hotels for homeless and see, you know, like, was this a good idea? And no. So let's go back to the original aims of this. The point of this was for COVID and social distancing, which is not being achieved. So I don't know why we're doing this. And given the constant fires, stabbings, drug dealing, you know, overdoses at these sites, you know, I mean, can we really justify their existence, you know? And then how can we get to permanent housing, permanent sustainable housing, good mental health care for people?
It must be frustrating for yourself, Anna, to see all these angles that you're covering with this story and the situation from all sides, but clearly maybe not seeing much change. I know we've talked a lot about your thoughts and what you think can be done to improve it moving forward, but I guess my question here is do you feel that things aren't moving forward as quickly as they could be, given that things seem to be constantly escalating week to week?
Oh, yeah, things are moving fast, but they're just moving in the wrong direction. And that, frankly, I'm concerned with, you know, seeing people that I worked with at our place, some of the clients, you know, and then seeing them a year later, like, absolutely deteriorate beyond belief. I just don't understand how that happens. And that is absolutely heartbreaking. Like, I just do not understand how we keep throwing millions and millions of dollars at this problem and people are getting worse. I mean, how can you even justify that? I mean, this, we're playing with people's lives here. So, I mean, it's time to really sit back, assess the cost and the effectiveness and saying, is this working?
Just back to the business situation, in terms of revenue loss, have you spoken much to the businesses about how many customers they are maybe losing because people are maybe perhaps afraid to come downtown to visit these places due to the close proximity of these shelters?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. This is what they're telling me. Yeah. So I think COVID kind of, and, you know, the closing down for a few months kind of decimated half their business. And then the other half is kind of being taken care of. If you live near a hotel turned shelter, it might be difficult to attract customers or to, you know, to make customers feel safe. I think, you know, like, we really need to think about how this is affecting everyone, not just the people who are the most vulnerable in this situation. You know, we're all vulnerable in this situation. Like, this is a big issue for everyone.
Through the people you're speaking to at the shelters, Anna, have you actually managed to speak to any of the people who have maybe been involved in some of the trashing of these businesses and finding out why they're doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, mental health is a really, really hard thing to negotiate. Like, I don't understand why people will do this, but I guess people are really angry. And I think this is comes back to the psychology of not having ownership of a place. So the one of the reasons why I don't think these hotel rooms work is because these people, and this is what they tell me, is that they're being moved from place to place to place. So the hotel rooms do not feel like home. So one of the reasons why housing first, the whole model of housing first works, is because people are given their own keys to their own apartment. This works. So if they feel like, you know, they're just going to be shoved around and they're at the whim of the city or the province and they, you know, their accommodation could end tomorrow, yeah, they're not going to respect the place. They just have no respect for it. And I think a lot of them are quite angry. And I will go say this, more than half of my sources are people who are actually in these situations, people who do live on the street and people who are in these hotels. So this is kind of what they're telling me. And, you know, and also there's a lot of drug use. There's a lot of drug use. So that also complicates things and also causes people to act in a way that they wouldn't. And then there's also the frustration of not receiving mental health care and physical health care. So that kind of creates this pressure cooker. I mean, we're seeing like crazy situations like fires and being barricaded in rooms and things like that. I mean, how does it get to this point? So this is not just like low level freaking out. I mean, we're seeing these situations escalate to these like blockbuster proportions. So, I mean, how are people getting to this point of distress and feeling like there's no way out? Like, you know, that their best option of recourse, the best way to express themselves, to go and, you know, trash somebody else's bathroom.
Have many businesses moved since this situation has happened, or has it not quite come to that yet?
No, I don't think they would have the capital to move. Where would they go? You know, I mean, as I said, I mean, this is not just the hotels. I'm not saying everything is to blame for the hotels turned shelters. This is not it. I'm saying that, you know, COVID's already made this really hard. And then the hotels being near a hotels turned shelters has made like a really hard situation even worse.
When it comes to people listening to this today, Anna, is there something that perhaps they can do to help out by visiting these businesses, perhaps going down to see these places and help them out during this situation? I mean, I realize it might be a tricky question, I guess, given that some people aren't clearly comfortable going down there because of this situation. But coming from yourself as someone who has been down there quite a bit recently, would you suggest people going down there to support these businesses when they can?
Absolutely. This is, you know, there is never a better time for Victorians to buy in Victoria, to shop locally, and to from your coffee to your homewares to, you know, your entertainment things like going to the cinema. Don't go online. Don't shop online. Shop here because, you know, businesses really need your support.
Is it safe, Anna, to go to these businesses around these shelters?
Yes, they are safe. They are safe. You know, some of the debris might not be so pleasant or the vandalism might be so present, but yeah, absolutely. Go to Java Joe's, stop into Dodds. I do recommend that. It is safe, and it's safe when I visited. It's just not that pleasant, you know.
It's always fascinating to get you on, Anna, to learn about this, of course. But before I let you go, I always like to give you the opportunity to talk about what else you've got going on and other projects that you've got moving forward. Is there anything happening right now you'd like to update us on? And of course, if you are, how people might potentially be able to get involved and help out?
Okay. Yes, thank you. The next thing we're doing the Capital's daily staff are all working together to do a longer form investigation on harm reduction efforts in the city. That includes nonprofits, people involved with them. You know, is this the model of harm reduction effective? And so, for example, the hotels turned shelters, that is a model of harm reduction. So we're really trying to get as many voices and viewpoints and angles as we can on the issue of harm reduction. So if you can speak on this and have any experience with this, please email me directly. My email is anna@capitaldaily.ca. I'll repeat that, anna@capitaldaily.ca.
anna@capitaldaily.ca. I thought I'd just come in there and give a bit of an extra boost for a third time.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Anna. Thanks very much for your time today.
Have a great day.
Coming up, all the day's news, plus can cookies decide an election? Find out next. The right choice of Hunter Douglas window coverings can keep your cool from Victoria's summer sun and instantly make over the look and feel of your home. Rafael and Brown Window Fashions have proudly represented the entire line of Hunter Douglas products for over 25 years and have grown to be one of the largest volume dealers in Canada. Visit rafael-brown.com for more details. To the day's news now, and after announcing 567 new COVID cases in a rare Saturday news conference, BC has imposed major restrictions on the Vancouver Coastal and Fraser Health regions, as well as the Sunshine Coast. The new public health order bans all gatherings outside of residents' immediate households, including wedding and funeral receptions. Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry called this an urgent and focused intervention used as a last resort to prevent the healthcare system from becoming overwhelmed in BC's most populous regions.
We need to keep our essential services and essential activities from schools to workplaces open and operating safely. And right now, this is in jeopardy.
Victoria police were called to the Capital City Centre Hotel on Thursday night by a man who indicated he was in crisis and was armed. Once officers arrived, they found that the man had barricaded himself inside a suite. As officers were speaking to the man, the fire alarm began to go off from within the suite and flames were soon visible. Police and firefighters were able to evacuate the building, but one person received significant burns to their arms and five others, including officers, were treated for smoke inhalation. 84 rooms in the hotel are being leased by BC Housing as supportive housing, but CBC reported the fire did not originate in one of those suites. All 87 people living in the supportive housing suites have now been temporarily displaced by the fire. And Victoria Police arrested one man on drug trafficking charges last month and seized 1 kilogram of fentanyl found to be at especially high concentration. Two men from Vancouver and a man and a woman from Surrey are also facing drug trafficking charges. Health Canada confirmed the substance was 90% fentanyl, a dramatic difference from the average 10% concentration usually found in Canada. Higher concentrations of the controlled substance is a concerning trend in the country, Victoria Police said. Seven samples have tested above 75% in Canada so far this year, compared to only one in 2019. The wholesale value of the seized fentanyl is $140,000, while the street value is more than $1 million. And before we go today, we've obviously all had a lot of news from south of the border about the election there, and I have some sad news to report that a Pennsylvania bakery has had their three-election streak of correctly guessing the election broken, with Joe Biden winning this year's presidential election. The Toronto Sun reported that the Loch Earls Bakery in Hatboro, Pennsylvania, had predicted President Donald Trump would win re-election after his red cookies had handily outsold former Vice President Biden's blue cookies by about 28,000 to 5,000. Owner Kathleen Lockell explained that she counts each individual cookie as a vote when they are sold and followed the same process in 2008, 2012, and 2016, each time which correctly predicted the winner. The Trump cookies apparently earned more support after Eric Trump made a surprise visit to the bakery, with the president's son given a tour by Lockell's husband. Clearly, all those extra cookies Eric bought didn't quite make the difference this time, which, unfortunately, as we often know, that's just how the cookie sometimes crumbles. And that's it today for the Capital Daily Podcast for Monday, November 9th, 2020. Tomorrow on the podcast, we will have the winner for you of last week's photo competition, as we generally do now on a Tuesday, and also have further details for this week's photo competition for those who are interested in entering. So be sure to tune in to the Capital Daily Podcast tomorrow, as I know you already are planning on doing. Just another friendly reminder. My name is Ben Waterworth, and as they say in Australia, a redhead is always a bluey. Thanks for tuning in, and I will speak to you tomorrow. Today's edition of the Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Raphael & Brown Window Fashions. Update your home by checking out this week's sale on a full selection of Hunter Douglas products. Visit raphael-brown.com for more details. Introducing the Capital Daily's Weekly Photo Challenge. Each week, our team will post a weekly photo theme in Monday's Capital Daily newsletter, as well as announcing it right here on the podcast, with winners receiving gift cards to local Victoria businesses around town. To find out what this week's theme is, check out today's Capital Daily newsletter.